Brendan O'Connor on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Get expert advice from your friendly healthcare team at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
Let's have something life-affirming now instead. Michael Flatley, good morning.
Hiya, Brendan. Thanks for having me on the show, mate.
Well, thank you for coming in to us. And because I know you're on a flying visit home to Ireland, so what we're going to do today is you're going to talk to us about your life in five songs. But before we get to that, one of the reasons you're home was to go to the rugby last night.
Yeah.
Yeah, and yeah. Ireland back on form.
Yes, yeah. I was at the New Zealand game as well. And, you know, I think I really believe Ireland was the better team. We just said too many errors, first game back, but my God, they're a great team. And last night they proved it. It was a little tighter than I would have hoped for. But yeah, Crowley's dropkick, fantastic. And some of the new guys, I think we're in a bit of transition, some new people come in, but there's a lot of excitement. I think there's a lot of positives we can take from that game.
And it sounds like the atmosphere last night, there were people were saying it never really took off, a bit flat last week. The atmosphere last night was good, yeah?
I thought it was, yeah. Alf and Rye came on quite a few times. Certainly in the area where I was, there was a lot of excitement. And I think, you know, the most important thing about the rugby, look what that team has given us. I mean, we have to support them, win or lose, whatever it is, we have to be there. I think that's, you know, hugely important. And I was proud to be in the stands there watching them.
Yeah. As you say, transition. I think a lot of people wondered last week, are they missing Johnny Sexton, that kind of talisman and that guy who drove them all along?
You know, that's a deeper question than maybe for me to answer. But, Johnny was a legend, of course, like O'Gara before him. I don't think so, though. I love Crowley. I think he's a great guy. And I think he has a huge amount of talent. I know Frawley didn't do as well as we'd hoped in the first outing against New Zealand. But I tell you what, he's a remarkable talent. I really do believe that. And then Prendergast came on last night. And, you know, when you first see him, he's very slim. He's very slight. But, my God, his timing on that offload was out of this world. He's just really, really a sharp guy.
Come here. Where else would you get this top-notch rugby analysis from a Super Bowl for Michael Flatley? Isn't this brilliant? People will remember, of course, you were our live reporter on this show at the Rugby World Cup in Paris, yeah. And you are genuinely obsessive rugby fan, aren't you?
Irish rugby. I love to see the Irish team play, and I'm friends with a lot of the guys at the IRFU, and last night I met one of them, Greg Barrett. He's such a nice man, and he was saying it was a tough loss last week, and I said, we'll always have Paris.
There was a rumour doing the rounds back a while back there that yourself and Eddie Jordan were thinking of buying London Irish Rugby Club.
Yeah. That's something I can comment on right now, but Eddie's one of my best friends in the world. I love that guy. And he's got a heart of gold, and he's, you know, having a little bit of health issues at the moment that we're getting through.
Okay.
But I'm crazy about him. And, you know, listen, I love Eddie, I love Ireland, and I love rugby. That's all I can tell you.
Okay. So watch this space, I'm thinking. You're big into boxing too, and this kind of gets us to our first song today. But you were at the Katie Taylor fight this time last year in the Three Arena. You were with, in typical Michael Flatley style, I think you were there with Ed Sheeran, because that's just how you roll. Did you stay up and watch the fight last night?
I didn't, Bren, because we got home late from the match, and I thought, if I'm going to see Brendan this morning, I'd better be on my toes.
Proper order.
I'll go home and watch it now. But can I just take a moment to say congratulations to Katie Taylor. What an Irish legend. She's one of the world's greatest boxers. I mean, men or female. I mean, it's for me, I just love her style. She's got such a heart. What a puncher. What a strategist. You know, beautiful ring technician. And she knows when to come forward, when to move to the side, when to move back. And she's against some dangerous opponents there. You know, she really is. I just think, you know, she's one of Ireland's legends and heroes.
And people will notice again that, like your rugby analysis, your boxing analysis is quite informed, because you were actually a handy boxer back in the day, weren't you?
Yeah, in my teenage years, yeah, I was, which brings us to our first song.
Yeah, was it your dad? Your dad was from Sligo. Was it he kind of said you needed to take up the boxing,
yes,
was it?
Yes, well, yeah. Exactly, yeah. We grew up on the south side of Chicago, and you know, a nice neighborhood, but it got to be a tough neighborhood over the years. And so I think one came home with one too many bloody noses, and he dragged me in the truck and said, "We're going to the gym." And that's how it kind of started. And it took off from there. My brother was the same. We fought in all the tournaments and did all of those sorts of things. But I think it's no harm. It's good for somebody to know how to protect themselves in this crazy world. It's also what also is exciting for boxing, I think, is you know, if you're not prepared, Brendan, you've got to be prepared, disciplined. You got to be ready in advance. Once you get in that ring, once you step in there, you know, your trainer's not there, your girlfriend's not there, your mammy's not there. You have to know as soon as that bell rings, it's you against him. And if either you've done the homework or you haven't.
Okay. It's the ultimate challenge in a way, isn't it?
It is,
and you're all alone in it. You see, people will imagine that you're kind of, you know, to use the old phrase, that you're a lover, not a fighter. But presumably to be a boxer, you have to tap into some kind of, not a killer instinct, but a very aggressive instinct. You have that in you somewhere as well, do you?
You know, Brendan, I think it's probably in my bloodline. My uncle was a boxer, a Connacht champion boxer, and I think it's just in me, but it's the way I dance as well. I'm very aggressive in those ways, and boxing was exciting. Listen, Muhammad Ali was my hero growing up as a young man, and he changed boxing forever. I was so blessed to become friendly with him in his elder years. Oh my God, what a hero. I mean, to so many people. I just loved him so much. And so, yeah, boxing for me was, it was just something we did in Chicago. You know, there wasn't too many Irish fellas in it, to be honest with you. It was a tough old game.
Really? Yeah. Yeah, okay. So why this song then, Jim Croce, You Don't Mess Around With Jim?
Well, listen, I how do you pick out five songs? Because there's so many that I love. I'm a huge blues fan, and I listened to everything from Matt Malloy to Al Benoni, you know, in the world. But I thought I wanted to bring something that might be interesting for your listeners. So I was in the back of a Chevy Impala back in the mid-70s. A broken down sort of car heading down to the Golden Gloves boxing tournament. And it was a car full of fighters, and the coach, Murph, was driving us, and he could sense there was a lot of nerves in the car, as you can imagine, with a bunch of teenage lads going down. And he turned down the radio, and after a couple of minutes, this song came on, Brendan. The second I heard that first beat, I know something just went off inside of me. I can't explain it. Jim Croce and this song just lit me up, and I think all the fighters too. We got to the place, St. Andrew's Gym, before the song ended, and we stayed in the car until it finished. And I tell you, by the time we got out of that car, I was ready for anything.
Okay, so never mind Eye of the Tiger. Jim Croce, You Don't Mess Around With Jim, is the pre-fight music for Michael Flatley. Here's his first choice today.
Uptown got its hustlers, the Bowery got its bums. 42nd Street got Big Jim, a walker, he a bull shooting son of a gun. Yeah, he big and dumb as a man can come, but he's stronger than a country horse. And when the bad folks all get together at night, you know they all call Big Jim Ball just because. And they say you don't tug on Superman's cape, you don't spit into the wind, you don't pull a mask off that old Lone Ranger, and you don't mess around with Jim. I don't do that.
Dark. And that is Michael Flatley's first choice today, Jim Croce, You Don't Mess Around With Jim. So, Michael, it was a very Irish upbringing in Chicago. Was the music at home a lot of Irish music?
Yes. Yeah, my father was, you know, from the Coleman country in Sligo. So we had the old vinyls, and I used to play those until they wore out, because that's what we had. And we'd go to Irish gatherings, and we mixed in an Irish circle. I don't think I heard another accent until I was about 6 years old. Yeah, it was all, everybody around us was Irish. So they played a lot of that. And then we got a hold of the Clancy Brothers, which I always loved. And, you know, those kinds of things. My parents were so fond of Ireland, even though they were away. I think absence makes the heart grow fonder, and all Irish people in the States seem to feel that way.
Yeah. They can sometimes have an idealized notion of what it's like back here. They can love it even more than we tend to love it.
It could be
we
true.
Take it for granted.
Yeah, maybe there's a point there. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And tell me, when you started listening to music as a kid, because you're a dancer, Do you feel music or hear music? Like you talked about Jim Croce, the first beat got you, right?
Yes.
Jim Croce.
Yes.
The first beat got you. Do you feel music in a kind of a visceral way that maybe someone else mightn't?
Oh, I can't comment on how other people can hear it, Brendan. But from my point of view, yeah, I'm terribly analytical with things, and I always have been, even since I was a young man. And that's why I fell in love with Seamus Tansey and Matt Malloy and the Chieftains and these guys. They were so articulate, which I love. But growing up in Chicago, my life was slightly different. So, I mean, I grew up with Led Zeppelin and Jethro Tull. I remember Jimmy Page, the guitar solo in Whole Lotta Love was out of control. I could play it over and over and over. And on Friday nights, I would drive that when, you know, you get the paycheck, and I'd put in as many hours as I could. I got myself a nice old 68 Corvette Stingray, and I used to drive downtown to go to the blues clubs.
Yeah.
Kingston Mines was a great one. Coco Taylor, Muddy Waters, all the great blues place singers were there. And then across the street,
so you
was
got to see all the greats in all these little clubs.
I was so blessed.
Blessed. Yeah.
I'd go across then to the Backroom Jazz Club, and you'd hear John Abercrombie and Jean Le Ponté and can't think of his name now, Hubert Laws and Jean-Pierre Rampal, those guys. I mean, back in the day, they were really, you know, at their height. That was fun. But on, and I'll set up this. Oh, I don't know which song you're going for now.
Yeah, we're good. So we're going to talk about that. What a Wonderful World next.
Okay,
yeah?
Perfect. Yeah. So my buddies like to go to the pubs on the weekend, and I would go with them sometimes, but mostly I'd like to get dolled up and head down to the Ambassador East Hotel. And there was a very famous lounge there called the Pump Room, where it was used to be frequented by Sinatra and, you know, Dean Martin and all of the film stars, Clark Gable, back in the day in Chicago. There's pictures of them, black and white pictures all over the walls. And I loved that. But the two reasons, number one, I was sweet on the blonde bartender at the time. But the second reason, there was a fantastic piano player, singer, Ike Cole. He was Nat King Cole's brother. And I've been there so many times, we became friendly, and he sang so many, he sang a lot of blues as well, but he sang a lot of fantastic songs. The first time I heard this next song, I heard him sing it. And then subsequently, I heard Louis Armstrong, and that was me done. It brings a good message to the world. You know, when you're passing someone on the street, you don't know them, somebody gives you a smile, it picks up your day. Those were innocent days and great days, you know, and I think, you know, human interaction is more important than any telephones or any computers.
Absolutely. Okay, so here is Michael Flatley's second choice today, Louis Armstrong, What a Wonderful World.
I see trees of green, red roses too. I see them bloom for me and you. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. I see skies of blue and clouds of white, the bright blessed day, the dark sacred night. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world.
Okay. Ah, yeah, that's magic, isn't it? That's Michael Flatley's second choice, Louis Armstrong, What a Wonderful World. And as you say, simpler times, but not like the reaction on the texts here is very much Michael Flatley, always so positive and always so supportive of everything. And like the world can be a bit cynical these days, but you maintain a kind of an almost innocent positivity, don't you?
Maybe I could be described that way, but I think, I think it's in our nature as Irish people to be positive. You know, sometimes it's more difficult today with all of the bad news in the press and the global news that we get and the social media. I'm not part of it, but we have a company who does that for us. But yeah, I think you have to wake up every day. And I say this all the time to young people. They ask me for advice. You know, they're so worried about, and I've said this before, Brendan, they're so worried about what other people will think if they try to do something great with their lives. And I try to encourage them not to worry about what anyone else is thinking. Don't look at those phones. Be positive. Stop thinking, what if it all goes wrong, and start saying to yourself, what if everything goes great? What if everything goes right?
Yeah.
You know, get up and throw your punch. And that's, I think, you know, the most important way you can look at life.
Absolutely. Get up and throw your punch. Words to live by. And you did. You won your first Irish dancing world title in 75. Then you worked with the Chieftains, I think, during the 80s. You were over and back between Ireland and America. And then you moved here 93, Riverdance in 94. That led to Lord of the Dance and other shows. And then you were in a different league, travelling the world and everything. And that brings us to the next song. So this is a song you randomly came across in Berlin, I think, time, wasn't it?
Yes, Brendan, yes. Yes, so I was out for my run one morning. We were touring Germany at the time, and I went out for my run, and I went for a walk to get myself a coffee afterwards, and I could hear this song pounding out of a shop, and it was a record shop there, and CDs and that kind of thing. And I walked by, but it just hooked me. And I thought, is that Tom Jones? Because I love Tom. And I just thought I'd run in and just check what it was and see if I could get it. And I talked to the owner. Luckily for me, he'd been at the show. And so he was such a nice guy. He wasn't selling that CD. It was his. And he gave it to me. And I thought to myself, as soon as I heard that, my dad is going to love this song. He's just going to love this. So the next time I came to Chicago, I poured him a big shot of Irish whiskey and I put that song on, and we must have listened to it, I don't know, 5 times.
Yeah.
Maybe, yeah. He absolutely loved it.
Would you do that with your dad? You sit down, have a drink and listen to music together?
Yeah, sure. Listen, yeah. It's heaven, Brendan.
Yeah.
I would trade anything to have one more day with him. My dad and my brother and I sitting at Castle Hyde watching the fights and having a drink together, and it doesn't get any better than that. Brendan, I've said it before and I'm repeating myself, but you know, I'd have nothing without my parents. I'd be nobody, nothing without the breeding, without your parents and their guidance in life. It's so important, and I owe everything to my folks.
Yeah. Okay, so this is, we'll dedicate this to your dad.
Yes,
so,
please.
This is I Did What I Did for Maria by Tony Christie, Michael Flatley's third choice today.
Laughter echoed across from the end of the street. There was the man I was burning to meet, and my mind was so calm and so clear as I took my revenge for Maria. Raising dust all around, but I knew he was dead long before he went down. It was quick, it was clean, made it easy on him, which is more than he did for Maria. When he did what he did to Maria, take an eye for an eye and a life for a life, and somebody must die for the death of my wife. Yes, I did what I did for Maria.
That's Michael Flatley's third choice. I Did What I Did for Maria by Tony Christie. These are brilliant, brilliant song choices. I didn't know half of them, but they're absolutely fantastic.
I tried to give you something entertaining.
Super, yeah. They want you to run for president.
President
the
of
Ireland. President of Ireland.
Oh, stop. No, it's Michael D. Higgins is the president of
Ireland. Until next year.
Oh, well. No comment.
Okay, right. So like the London Irish, we'd watch this space, I think.
I'm flattered that they are saying that. How blessed am I, Brendan? Thank you, God.
Okay. And you are blessed. You had cancer last year. You're in remission. How are you now?
I'm up and down. Yeah, I'm still going in for treatments pretty regularly. But I don't give in easy. And I'm a man of faith, Brendan, and I highly recommend it. And it got me through a lot of the tough times, and I'm blessed to have a beautiful wife and son who look after me and give me, you know, courage when I need it. So
Okay. So treatment's still ongoing.
Yeah, but I'm good. I'm not concerned anymore like I was.
Okay. Yeah. And the treatment doesn't knock it out of you. It knocks it out of
people. It does. Be honest with you, Brendan. They put me on some medication even recently, and you know, it's hard. Some days I don't know what planet I'm on until I get my senses straight. It's just pounding in the water, you know, and I go for runs as much as I can, whatever little bit I can get out of me.
Yeah.
But the medication is the hard part. You know, that's really the difficult bit.
And this kind of brings us on to your next song. I presume this experience of cancer makes you reflect a bit on your life.
It surely does, yeah. It makes you think to yourself, you know, have I done enough in life? Have I given enough to people? Have I been true to myself? Have I done what I wanted to do? Have I done it the way I wanted to do? I'm always talking about, you know, the bell rings, throw your best punch. Have I done that? You know, and I look back at my life and I've won my boxing titles and my dance titles and the flute music and these kinds of things and created the shows. And, you know, life has been good to me, but because I'm such a driven person, there's always a higher mountain to climb. There's always another thing to achieve. And I think much of my life now I spend trying to inculcate my dancers with that self-belief that, yes, you can have it. Yes, you can do this, whatever it is. And because of that, most of my dancers go on to open dance schools or go into business. You know, I tell you, when we were on Broadway in 2015, maybe it was now, Brendan, one of the dancers came to me, an English lad, saying Liam Costello, and he says to me, Michael, my mum's in for the show tonight. Can you say hello and maybe take a picture? And I said, yeah, of course. And then it hit me as I was walking away. He was studying understudy for the bad guy role in the show. And I said, Liam, hang on a second. Are you ready to go on for the show? Are you about ready for it? He said, oh, no, I'm not ready. We don't even have costumes. And I said, you're up tonight. And he came screaming at me and said, you're up tonight. And he got lifted the roof that night. His mother was in tears and gave me the idea, Brendan. I went to all the dancers in the show. I said, every one of you, I want you to take a turn doing one of the four leads while Excellent. We're on Broadway. You know why I did that? Because dancers have a short lifespan for the dance world, but for the rest of their life, they can say on their CV, I was a star on Broadway.
Yeah, yeah, fantastic. It's funny on one hand, right? So you're so driven and you do everything for yourself and all that. And then on the other hand, I saw you say that when you were going in for your cancer surgery, it was about surrendering.
Yes, absolutely. Yes, as I said, I'm a man of faith, and you have to let go. These are the choices that our Lord makes. And how did I get so lucky to be married to Neve and have my son Michael St. James? How I'm blessed this morning to be on your show. You know, these are things that God decides. And you know, you wouldn't want something so bad in your heart, Brendan. Whether it's for me, it's the dancing. Maybe for you, it's this. You wouldn't want something so bad unless God was going to give you an equal amount of opportunity to be successful and for people to want that from you. The only thing between you and your goal is 100 miles of hard work, and I'm not shy about that.
Okay, yeah. Okay. So it's a bit of both. It's a bit of luck and God, and then you have to do the work.
Of course you do.
Yourself.
And why not? Yeah. It makes you feel good about yourself. Yeah. So this next song, I heard it in my early 20s. I was out in San Francisco teaching dancing at the time, and it took my breath away. And it made me think back then, you know, get going, turn up the throttle, put the hammer down and go after the things you want in your life. And it stayed with me. And then relatively recently, my wife and I flew to Rome to see Charles Aznavour live, and we went backstage to have drinks with him afterwards. And he's such a superstar, but this song for me is—it always makes me emotional, and it always, even especially after the cancer, it made me think: have I done enough?
Yeah, yeah, and I can see you're emotional now talking about it. Okay, so here's Charles Aznavour and Yesterday When I Was Young.
Yesterday. So many were with pleasures lay in store for me, and so much pain my dazzled eyes refused to see. I ran so fast that time and youth at last ran out. I never stopped to think what life was all about, and every conversation I can now concern itself with me, me, and nothing else at all.
Okay, that's Michael Flatley's fourth choice. Very poignant, isn't it? Yesterday When I Was Young by Charles Aznavour. So when you looked back, did you think, I'm pretty happy with my record? I mean, it's not over, but when you thought at that point, okay, this could be me doing my final reckoning here, did you think, yeah, I lived up to what I wanted to live up to?
I think, you know, I'll stand by it.
Yeah.
I've made a lot of mistakes along the way, but I've worked hard. I don't know anyone that's worked harder than me, except maybe my father, but I've certainly given every last drop I had, no matter what I was in, whether it was boxing or dancing or flute playing or, you know, any of that stuff. You just have to go after it. And so, would I like to do more? Sure.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm proud of the record so far, and I'm delighted to be back in Ireland to see the rugby lads and all of these great things. It's wonderful to be alive.
Yeah, yeah. You're a lucky man too.
You've
worked hard, but you're a lucky man. You know, there's a theme to a lot of texts coming in here of people who met you in various places and how nice you were to them. Do you make a policy of being nice to every single person who approaches you and everyone you meet?
It's in your nature. Either you're like that or you're not like that. You know, I think that's so important. Last night I bumped into a rugby legend, Tommy Bowe, and what a nice man. You meet nice people along the way, and it's a blessing. You know, many years ago I was in Los Angeles and I was having drinks with a couple of very famous movie stars who I won't mention their name, and this girl came over and said, excuse me, can I get a photograph with you guys? And he was, one guy was so rude and said, can you not see we're eating, we're having drinks, we want to be alone, leave us alone, we don't get any time off. And I thought, oh my God. And I remember saying to him, mate, you should have been a plumber or a carpenter. Who do you think you are? I don't understand that way. I went over to the girl and apologized to her, but I couldn't go back to finish my drink. When do you get that big that you're, you know, these are the people that buy your tickets. These are the people. Do you imagine the amount of courage it took for that girl to come over to the table? The amount of courage.
And to get slapped down then and made feel like nothing.
It's just rotten.
Actually, there's a good story here from Michael in Cork. One night in Cork, I had to go and get my daughter out of a mad party in the Imperial Hotel. While I was crossing the South Mall, I saw Michael Flatley right in front of me. I told Michael I hadn't time to talk to him and apologised to him. Michael Flatley told me my daughter was far more important to me than he was. He said, family's the most important possession we have. I never forgot that, what he said to me that night. That's from Michael in Cork. Listen, so, the show, Lord of the Dance, A Lifetime of Standing Ovations, is the new show. And you see, that now is your chutzpah. Most Irish people would never dare call their show A Lifetime of Standing Ovations. We'd be apologising for ourselves and everything. But, like, we should say it out, shouldn't we?
Yes, exactly. Listen, I'm thinking about doing a St. Patrick's Day show now for television. We have the greatest fighter in the world in Katie Taylor.
Yeah.
Right? The best rugby team in the world, the best, biggest rock band in the world, the number one actor on the planet in Cillian Murphy, a Cork man as well.
Yeah.
And the greatest racehorses and the greatest golfer in Rory McIlroy. Why are we keeping it a secret?
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Stand up and throw the punch.
Okay. So the show, the Lord of the Dance show, will be in Belfast after Christmas, Dublin after the New Year.
And now, Mayo in the middle. We're in Mayo from the 2nd to the 5th in Castlebar.
Okay. And obviously you're not dancing in it.
No.
But you are, in a way. There's a hologram, more than one hologram, am I right, of Michael Flatley?
Yeah, it's a hologram I did years ago where there's three of me on the screen dancing against each other to see who can go the fastest. It's just entertaining the audience that seem to like it.
I believe they go wild when the holograms appear. Yeah. Do you know what? Will we stop for a minute? And will you give me a tune on the flute? Because you have the flute there and you're saying, oh, no, only if things are going badly. Things are going very well. But you know what? I'd rather, we mightn't even get the last bit of music, but we'll see. I'd rather hear a bit from you. So would you play us a tune?
I will, yes. Thank you.
Now, I wish I'd brought my spoons, but anyway. Yeah.
What
are you going to play?
That's what Eddie Jordan does. Play a couple of very quick tunes. I'll just keep it short.
Are we okay on sound to do that? Yeah, okay. Great.
The New Policeman, and then a creation of mine, The Ghost, that I'll tell you about another time.
Okay.
Yeah.
You're thinking, if you've just tuned in, that guy playing the flute must be from the deep depths of Kerry, or must be from the bogs of Clare or something like that. That's a guy from the mean streets of Chicago there playing better than most Irish people. So that was two songs there, the two tunes. The second one, your own, yes?
Yes, it is. Yeah, The Ghost. And I sent it out. Matt Malloy's one of my best friends. I woke up in the middle of the night with this tune in my head. And I don't know where it came from, but I got up and I recorded it on my iPhone, and I completely forgot about it. And yes, the next day around 5 o'clock, I remembered that tune, so I ran and listened to it, and I sent it on to Matt. And Matt learned the tune. He sent it back to me, and it was a very humbling experience. And Matt is, you know, the greatest flute player in the world. I was flattered that he did it.
Yeah. Will you ever dance again? Do you have one last hoof left in your movie or something, maybe?
Yeah, you know, I've got a couple of offers, Brendan, and you never know. As I said, I just have this drive. I know I'll never stop. I'll always do something, whatever that is. But I spent the last 30 years promoting Ireland and Irish culture. And
I know a show is intense and dancing every night and everything. But if it was in a movie situation where you were just shooting scenes, would your body be able for it now?
I think so. I mean, listen, I'm in bits, but they could patch me together and get me out there if I needed, I suppose.
Okay. Blackbird, I thought was a terrific film, really great fun, really enjoyed it and everything. Are there more movies to come?
There could be. But right now, because I have a big court case going on, and I have the tours going on, and I've just launched the whiskey that's going great, thank God, flying off the shelves. So I have a lot on my plate. I don't know how I'd fit it in just now.
Okay.
But, you know.
There is a documentary, I know, about your life coming out, isn't there?
Yes, yeah.
You got to think, though, that there, like, even the stories you've been telling there, the pictures you've been conjuring of you in the old car driving downtown to the jazz and blues clubs, like, there's a great movie in your life that someone is going to make sometime.
Yeah.
Should you not be the one to make it?
No, it shouldn't be me, I don't think. Well, they're making the documentary, but they won't let me see it or be near it, which is a bit, you know, worrying.
Listen, they won't be able to find anyone to say a bad word about you, I'd say.
Oh, you never know, buddy.
Yeah, no, I'm sure it'll be fantastic. Okay, so we'll finish on your last song then. And now, this is another kind of unusual choice, but I think this is a song that made you dance one time. Outside of Irish dancing, I was surprised, you don't really dance.
No, Brendan, I never do. I don't remember ever dancing in a nightclub or anything like that.
You see, all the guys out there are thinking, no, if I had his moves when I was young and single, I would have been burning up the dance floor everywhere to impress the girls.
No, I only dance on stage. And, you know, there'd be a couple of nights here in New York or in Annabelle's in London where I might take my wife for a slow dance. But that is very rare.
Unless you're being paid. It's like me. I don't talk when I'm not on the radio. I go home to my wife and mute. Show me the money and I'll talk. But otherwise, oh, yeah.
That's a good.
So tell us then about this song, Phil Collins, You Can't Hurry Love.
Yes, yeah. You know, after the show, all the girls, you know, come off the stage, there's 10,000 people screaming and they get all fired up and the girls want to go out to the nightclubs and the guys too. So they asked me, can you get us into this famous club? So I'll make sure that they don't have to wait in line. I get them all in. I'll go down and have a martini with them. But they know I'll never ever dance. They might come over and ask me what I like to dance because they know I won't. You know what I mean? And then, one night after the show in Paris, I went out on my own to the Coast Hotel where we stay, or I like to stay. And there's a beautiful little bar in there, and there were some beautiful girls up dancing and French music on. And I ordered myself a dry gin martini, and I was away in my thoughts, and which it tends to happen from time to time when you're on your own. And the DJ changed and put this song on, Phil Collins, You Can't Hurry Love. Now, Phil used to come to my shows all the time, and he'd buy the front row and bring the whole band, and we became good friends. And as soon as it came on, I don't know what happened, but I jumped up on the floor, got out between those girls, and I couldn't stop dancing till that song was over. It was you know what? It was pure joy, pure fun.
Yeah, yeah. It has that infectious Motown groove to it, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Okay, listen, Michael Flatley, that's the most enjoyable half hour I've spent in a while. Thank you very much.
Thanks for having me on.
The texts are flying in here. More people suggesting you definitely have to go for presidency, more stories and more people just appreciating your general vibe. So thank you so much. Lord of the Dance, A Lifetime of Standing Ovations is in the Waterfront Hall in Belfast from the 27th to the, I'm building up to saying 30th, the 30th of December. Irish people can't say 30th. And then it moves to Dublin's Bord Gáis Energy Theatre January 15 to 18, and you're in Mayo in between that.
That's right, the 2nd to the 5th. Looking forward to the Castle Bar, be good.
Michael Flatley, thank you so much. We'll end today on your fifth and final choice, a little bit of Phil Collins, You Can't Hurry Love. Thanks, Michael.
Thanks, Bren.
Radio 1.